Welcome to Elective C, Teaching Kids to Serve. My name is Roger Timer. I am a children's pastor and a pastor at King of Kings Church in Omaha, Nebraska. Also, I serve with Kids Count Ministries, which is the ministries for kids and families in my own church. And out of that has birthed a mission arm, which is Kids Count Publishing, and provides resources for churches and ministries across North America and globally. And my passion in life is to equip churches and families, and especially ministry leaders amongst children. I just so believe that is the most strategic group in the church. So this is a topic very close to me because we've missed it for so many years and things are changing. And in my prayer, that I'll just go ahead and pray it instead of tell you what I'm praying for. Let's pray together. Lord God, we pray that you would open our eyes and let us see your kingdom move in ways that we haven't seen it before. And if there's something, Lord, that we've been missing, take the blinders off, especially so that we might be able to deliver to our children, to our families, to our teens, to our church, a more complete, exciting passion of what it means to follow you. And may it be so, Lord, in our churches. Use our level of influence, God, to your services and simply show us what you're calling us to do. We trust that it is only by your power that you change hearts and lives. Let us be part of it. We want to see it. We want to be part of it as you take our churches from the seats to the streets so that we get out of the walls and we live the life that you've given us, life to the full. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen. Little Ryan was 6 years old, but he was the older brother. Caleb, who was 4 years old. It was Saturday morning, and that's pancake morning. And as they were hungrily waiting for the pancakes that Mom was making, the first one came off, and an argument ensued. They both wanted it. But Mom, seizing the opportunity, as a good Christian mom would do, to teach a point, said, "Now, what would Jesus do? Wouldn't he say to his brother, you can have the first pancake?" And Ryan got it. So he said to his brother Caleb, "It's your turn to be Jesus first." And sometimes even in the church, folks, how quickly by default we have even acted thinking that it's someone else's turn to serve. When in fact, where does the exciting Christian life happen? In serving. And you can go to that. I want to make sure I've got my reference, Mark 3:14. When Jesus called his disciples together that they might be with him and that he might send them out, do you think that was something that energized them? Absolutely. Now, before I begin talking about, I'm going to let you talk about it first. I want to brainstorm a list. What are 10 reasons why it is so important to teach kids to serve? When I say kids, I don't want to be demeaning to teens, but I'm including them in that list. So we're talking about everything from 2-year-olds to 18-year-olds. Yes. Why is it so important to teach them to serve? Let's have some audience feedback on that one, please. Hold your hand up when you're ready, and I'm going to send you the microphone so I can get it recorded.
It gets them out of themselves.
Thank you. It's an interesting point about what parents are looking for or ways to get kids out of themselves too, isn't it?
Scripture commands it. It's train up a child, right?
Thank you. Others, why is this so important?
Pass that down, please.
They're the ones who are going to be serving.
Super. I wonder how we train them to be the church of the future. That's a good question. I wonder if it has something to do about training them to be the church of today. Yeah. Thank you. Others?
So they can feel inside themselves the joy of serving others.
Wow.
Bring them joy.
Thank you.
We as Christians are called by Jesus to serve as he served, and so by teaching them to serve, they're showing the world the example that Christ set for us to be set apart.
Fantastic. What's your name?
Zachary.
I'm Roger. Hey, Zachary, will you do me a favor, pal?
Possibly.
Possibly. That's the best answer, you know.
I'm rushing anything.
Right. So I'm going to be talking as we go, and if you can think of a way, Zachary, how old are you?
15.
If you can think of a way that you've served in the church and it really said, man, that was good, I'm going to come on back and ask you if you've got something to share with us. So you think about it. I won't put you on the spot right away unless you got it right away.
Yeah, I got it.
I have served in Vacation Bible School, or VBS. It's kind of like a kids' vacation program. I also do a children's Sunday school occasionally with my dad and brother. We take turns doing that, and sometimes we do a children's church during the service that we rotate around a much larger number of volunteers. So,
I praise God for you, Zachary. How about you guys? Give it up.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of what the church is going to be looking like, isn't it? Now, this is interesting that we have complained in the church that when people get into their 20s or whatever else, they don't do anything. Why doesn't anybody do anything in the church? And let's think just for a moment what they've been doing for the first 18 years. What does it mean to be a good Christian? Does it mean go to church? Sit still, listen well, go home, see you next week. Is there a message there? Does the Christian experience look exciting, or is it primarily passive? I've got a comment over here.
This isn't really a comment. It's more of something that my Bible study group has been talking about. One thing that my group has been studying is here to further God's kingdom. And one of the things we do that is by serving. And if we don't teach the children now to serve, who will be serving?
And your name is?
Hannah.
How old are you, Hannah?
Yes.
Hannah, I have learned a long time ago. When I've asked kids to guess how old I am, that I don't want to be 85. So, I am going to give that privilege of guessing Hannah's age to...
She has a passport to see.
May I?
23.
You are 21.
I'm 20.
20. Same age as my son. Thank you, Hannah. Fantastic. Let's think about it this way. If we're giving a spiritual diet to children, and you have meat, or you have main dish, salad, and dessert, what does it look like in the planning life of your congregation? What is, first of all, we've got this mindset that most of the discipleship that happens is at church. That's shifting. Because now we realize that the church and the home are in partnership on it, correct? That's a given. It's not one or the other. They're both together. But we still think in terms of what are some of the activities that we do at church. And we kind of think of Sunday school, and that's kind of like meat and potatoes, right? And maybe going to worship. Or maybe worship is the meat and potatoes and Sunday school is the vegetables or something. Those are the main courses right there. And then we get to things like Wednesday nights. And what do we do? Do we go back and give them more of the same? Think about that. Is there a better way to spend that time? When do we teach our kids to serve? And if discipleship is primarily defined by following Jesus, how much time did he spend just sitting and talking at them? How much was it not walking with him and showing? So let's figure out ways that we can begin to look at the spiritual diet that we give our kids and their families so that we have service as one of the main dishes that's going on. That's one of the reasons that in our ministry setting for the last 10 years, we've taken Wednesday nights and we've launched it as a serve night for our kids. And they are the ones that hit the streets when they're in third grade. And things begin to change. As a matter of fact, if you get a prayer team of elementary kids praying through a mission that you're starting, miraculous things will happen. And this is not rocket science. So let's kind of take a look at the whole scope here. Why is it so important? We know there's a lot of reasons. Let's continue to be kind of writing those down as you go. But the scriptural mandate is for sure. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought love one another. So it is absurd. How could we teach our children discipleship without letting them serve? Did children receive a junior Holy Spirit? Are they second-class citizens in the kingdom of God? Do they receive a half measure of spiritual gifts? Did Jesus ask them to get out of the way? Kids are ministers too. Kids are ministers too. Kids are ministers too. Team? Kids are ministers too. And that ought to be a mantra, perhaps, or might be, in your place, so that you can remind people that just as God calls us to minister to the world as adults, certainly kids minister too. So, here are the settings in which we can practice serving. First of all, the best place to learn serving is in the home. And by the way, how often do we talk to our kids about Christian service in the home? That's an interesting question, isn't it? Because what has happened is that our version of Christianity is very institutionalized without even knowing it. Because kids think about serving Jesus as something I go to church to do and I go to on a task to do. But when I come home, whew. But you and I both know that the hardest people to serve in the world are the people closest to you. You know best their faults and foibles, and they know yours. And that's where we learn to love. But how often do we talk about that? How often do we help our kids talk about that? That's why I believe that a lot of your takeaway ministry points in your primary settings, such as Sunday school or kids' church or church or other events, need to be focused to what it is that you're doing to minister to home. And kids need to talk about what life is like at home so that they can work their discipleship out there. And also so that their future families can be settings that they see this is where the Christian life is lived out. And moms and dads, when they have arguments for crying out loud, are having an opportunity to talk about how Christian love is lived out. So somewhere in our whole mix, and this isn't programmatic because it's something that we just have got to change in our thinking because we have it too. But in our own families and in the families that we influence, we begin to say things like, we're having a disagreement here and we're trying to decide what's the best way for us to love each other the way Jesus would love us. And right now I'm struggling with forgiveness. Now, I would never say it to a small kid, to my teen. I'd say, you know, there are certain things you don't let. And if I'm talking about, if you were having a conversation about your marriage, it's just that we want to be open, not voyeuristic, right? For as far as what's appropriate, but we need to have those conversations put in the context of discipleship. Make sense? Let's talk about with the family to the community. And give me an example in your churches of families that go out to serve together. And as you listen to this, I want to tell you, it's a trend coming. We're putting a person, we changed, in our church, we have one of our ministry staff people that is part-time, and her job was to do all the jam ministries, in which there are big kid events in which kids invite their friends to, so they, especially their friends that don't know Jesus, and we have a big rah-ha, hoo-ha, you know, swim day or this thing or that thing, and it's all great. It's good stuff, no doubt. We started really doing a discipleship output count on this, and we started saying, how much discipleship traction are we really getting? Is this really the best use of our time and resources? And we said, we're also trying to create community. Well, maybe there's a better way to create community. We did find this. The best way to create community is not get together for a swim party. It's to get together for a serve party. Serve puts people together. But let's talk about that in a minute. What we've changed her job to be is that she is going to oversee how to help families get together in groups and go do a service project together with their kids. Because that changes lives. Statistics tell us, of all the things that you can do that makes faith stick to a child once they leave home, the highest is serving alongside your parents. And talk to the mission field on that. Talk to the missionaries that come back in the MKs, missionary kids.
We just started doing a family mission trip from our church last year to the Gleaners, and they chop up vegetables, they make soups, they send, and the kids just ate it up. It was awesome. And the parents and the grandparents, and it was multi-generational. It was awesome. It was beyond awesome.
Now, did they have that setting at church?
No,
they
no.
Did, they went out and
went
did it.
To the Gleaners.
To the Gleaners.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the Gleaners are in the Okanagan, and we're from Prince George.
Oh,
so
got
we
it.
Traveled and, you know, traveled okay. together and camped together and went to the Gleaners and did the service thing as like a, you know, sort of a vacation, but a mission trip, a family mission trip. It's awesome.
Fantastic. Now I want four more ideas that have already happened in your churches about how families have served together.
Our church goes to having 8 Sundays a year where families are given specific, whole family goes out and clean yard of unhelpful garbage. We plan usually about 10 different projects and we go.
Logistically, what day of the week did you go on?
Sunday.
Sunday. Yeah. Did you skip church services?
We had a 15 minute.
That is, did you hear that? Yeah, they had their own 15-minute church service. Do you think that impacted them for discipleship? Yeah, and I just am so into this, too. Because our whole church, now that's, you know, that's like a 2,500 attendance, stopped everything for Sunday morning. We did not go to church that morning, and we went out to the community. And what we found is the best way to organize that was families. And when you let families decide where they wanted to go, we gave them multiple options. And then when they came back, they would come back and we had a continued worship service from 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock. And worship teams were going. They'd sing a couple songs and people would come in. And then we'd just listen to stories and read scripture. And we would be telling what God's doing. So then people could come back, you know, tug in and go. But that begins to shape. I'll stop talking there. But let's get some more here about families serving together.
Our church does a food program that we restaurant and there's music and everything.
Thank you. Hold that.
The last couple of years we did a Kobe for Christmas, we got chocolate. This year we one of the nights, like we do it for 3 nights. Last night we just had the homeless from the mustard seed. We had buses and brought them to the church, fed them food and flowers there, and then we had the pageant, and yeah, so it was just awesome. And it was a bit chilly, but you know, we had like 3 or 4 bonfires going around, so it was pretty cool.
Wasn't that great for the families to be together, but you feel like you're part of a bigger family?
Yes.
Yeah, thank you. Pass this down, please.
Hey. So we have different groups that we'll be going into well, and we sing songs to them, and then we have that we just hang out with them and talk with them and just play games with them. I mean, at first the kids are a little scared, you know, but once they get into it and once they start seeing them smile, you know, then...
I didn't have anybody on our vacation soccer account, and my daughter's into music. She and I are music, also into music, so I had them ask their friends to lead it. And
by the way, one of the new mission fronts is sports ministry, for that very reason. And it's not just in North America. This is where we're making huge headways into Muslim countries. And there are missional organizations, C-A-Y-S, I can't tell you what, C-A-Y-S-C-O. You can find out more about them if you go to the website Max7. But anyway, what they do in those countries is with a soccer clinic, you get all sorts of people that will come, and then you also get permission to share with them personally, and then also even corporately, out loud. And there are several different organizations that will even come to your church here in North America to help you with that. I'm going to keep moving on because there's going to be some other things that we're going to get to. That's so exciting. Now, you know what? Now the church gets fun for guys.
Yes, right.
Make it fun for guys. Seriously. You can always get the gal. Sorry. But make it fun for the guys. And, by the way, as you start thinking about these kinds of missional things, here's the shift of thinking. The shift of thinking is we used to come to the church and think of the church, you're going to help program my life. And you're going to help put my ministry together. Those days are fading. Now we want to shift the conversation and create in our churches a conversation that asks a couple questions. And if you can put these questions strategically throughout your church where they're asked often, you'll have people saying, oh, you know, we're going to serve. And here's some of the questions. One of the questions is, how have you seen God working in your life? Because we've got to start being aware to see kingdom things. Another one of those questions is, who have you prayed for out loud recently? When you start asking that question, you'll find that people start thinking that when they're talking to someone and they talk about, well, yeah, you know, you go, do you mind if I pray for you? Can I pray for you? And they say, sure. And then you go, would you please bless Chuck? So they did it. And wow. And see, now what's happening is it's something that you're owning. And then here's the other question. Getting people to say, what can we do to serve together better? Because see, the body of Christ ministers better when it is together. We are better together. So you keep those questions asking. And here's what we're doing in our church. Every Wednesday we have a lunch. We bring 8 people in from the congregation, sometimes according to affinity groups. We have 3 staff people sit at the table. We have lunch with them, and then we ask them this question. So how have you seen God working in your life? And we listen. What things do you think we could do or you could do together that might better reach people for Jesus? And then we're trying to create a culture where people are asking those questions and doing it. But now I'm going to switch a little bit to program.
with the family to the community. By the way, there is one other program thing here with the family to the community. That just since this is so important, we are going to program it a little bit. Every parent going through our church, when their kid is 6 years old, will get in a group that has other parents that's 6 years old, and we're going to teach them how to serve. It's a three-session class, and it's called, it's part of our Faith Walk, Faith Nurture at Home program called Faith Legacy. And part of their devotion that they do at home is with a towel and a basin, and the kid makes their own little towel and basin with their hand imprints on it, and it says, Jesus touched me, I will touch the world, little decal they put on it. And they have a foot washing where they study that at home. It's kind of an interactive thing. And then mom and dad take and work with the child and do some mission outreach as a family. And it is during that time we also teach them that they have gifts that God's given them to serve. And we also teach them allowances and how to take part of your allowance and set it aside for God. That's all about the serving. So we just want to make sure it's such an important thing that we get those. And that's called Towel and Basin Step. If you're interested in that, it's part of our Faith Legacy series, so you can get that all as a self-contained DVD piece. And you can talk to me afterwards or pick up a brochure on it at the table there. We're going to the next category, In the Church to the Church. And this is where we can rethink things like worship services, vacation Bible school, and especially this is when kids can serve alongside of adults. And there are things that are right under our nose and we're missing. Seniors, great people to serve by four-year-olds. What a connection. And you parade them in there to the four-year-olds who are part of the, in our system, it's called the Mission Adventure Club, and they have a party for the seniors to tell them how much Jesus loves them. So that's just a fun way. So we're going to look at these models in the church to the community. We see the settings unfold. We'll talk about how we might be able to program that. The program model I'm going to offer is a Wednesday night model. And the one for preschoolers is called Mission Adventure Club. And the one for elementary and preteens are called Mission Adventure Teams. And in Mission Adventure, I'm going to talk about Mission Adventure Teams. That's going to be grade school ages. We have two categories of ministry teams. There's a ministry of presentation, and that means for the 3 weeks, they're going to be studying a presentation skill as a team of kids. And by the way, the whole team ministry is a much better vocabulary now in churches. How many of you still use the word committee? Okay, so we're moving away from using words like committees, and especially in saying what's important is serving on a committee and having a position. No, let's be part of a team and do something, okay? So ministry team is the words that we use, and this would involve typically about, in a ministry of presentation, it could be anywhere from 4 to 10 kids. We want to have ratios small enough so that they get personalized experience from their adult sponsor. Balloon art, how do you tell the gospel using balloon art? Dance team, and this is, you know how girls love to dance, and they'll pay big bucks to go dance with their dance thing. Let them do it at church. And use that presentation as part of one of your worship services. Or at one of the off-site presentations that you're doing for one of the people you're serving. Video mission teams, recording and editing, story reading to small kids, puppet ministry, gospel illusion. Oh, gosh. I'll show you. I hope I have. I'm going to go through the presentation. I'll show you one gospel illusion that'll, or after this, I'll show you. How about that? Because we may not have time. And kids really love this one. And what we would do when we had our, like we'd have a big carnival for Journey of Joy, which is our counterpart to Halloween. And then we would have a special room for presentations. And the kids would be doing presentations, but they'd be gospel presentations because so many people from the community are coming through for the carnival. And I'll show you an example of what they did. It's illusion. We don't use the word magic. It is an illusion, but it is a trick. Drama. I'll show you. Drama usually comes out in, there is creative dramatics that we'll take into nursing homes, or dramas that we will use in special presentations at church. Things like sound booth, set design. I mean, why not? Then there's ministry of helps. And here are ideas: cooking, making team, mentally handicapped Bible study, missionary writing team, make-a-wish team, random acts of kindness, food donation team, jewelry team, recycling team, angel tree, prayer team, operations Christmas child, senior center visiting team, care packets for homeless, serving dinner, blanket making, garden team. I'll tell you who we have when. It depends on what adults we have. Because you build it around the people who step forward to lead. And that's who you look for. And that'll tell you what kinds of teams. Here's a very important mathematical equation. Listen to this. The impact of your serving event and how much it connects to people encountering Jesus raises the value of the experience. And the greater the impact, the more significant the serving experience. So it's not just about being part of the team. It's what that team does at its culmination. So programmatically, we want to design the best settings for them to actually talk to the people that they're serving. It's so much better than collecting food for people that they won't see. It's much better to collect food for people that they will talk to. Or if they go to the shelter, let the shelter people talk to them about what they did. The more direct, the better. Prayer team. And the challenge is time, because in our system, and it depends on the year, what we would do is, if you're together and you meet for your training for 3 weeks, and you may go out week number four, out week number five, you've got to arrange for travel. You've got to come early to church because you're leaving at 5 o'clock or something, so you have enough time. Or after, you might have a quick piece of meal together there, and then you go out. The prayer team were kids that learned how to do intercessory prayer. And one of our members decided to buy a storefront in a very depressed area and turn it into a mission. And the right way to start that, no one really knew, but we did know one thing. If we can help in any which way, we want to help pray for you on this. So it was an old building that had been used for a gambling hall illegally. And across the street was prostitution and a liquor store next door. And it was a place where there was a lot of broken families. So when the kids from the prayer team went down there, they helped do some decorations on the walls because it's pretty austere. And then they prayer walked and they prayed against the prostitution and the broken homes and the alcoholism and the so many people that were so hopeless before. And after they prayed, they went home. Up until that time, that mission had never had more than 20 people come on a Sunday. The next Sunday, 48. I believe there is a connection. And I do believe those kids that went through that had a chance to connect with the kingdom in a way that helps them see God work in ways they didn't see. We'll talk about how God answered their prayer. Do you think they turned into prayer warriors? And do you think globally, when they have children's ministry conferences, why they bring kids in to pray intercession over everyone? Did you know they do that? They're some of the best prayer warriors you have. They have something you and I maybe don't have, because the childlike trust and faith. They were third through fifth. Sixth. There was a sixth grader, too. Okay? Then I'm going to show you a sample of what some of the teams did when they culminated for helping the worship service and doing a Christmas worship service. Now, instead of doing a kids program, what they did is they had all the ministry teams. We would write a script around whatever ministry teams we have so that they would tell, they would lead the worship and tell the Bible event. I'm going to show you, I think this is the dance team. If, I can't see my screen, so this is weird. I don't know what happened to my computer today, but I am sure it's all going to be working out just fine. Oh, Lordy. I want video player. Oh, yeah, maybe it's already keyed up. I'm not sure if it's keyed up. Yeah, let's get him going. And this is the dance team. That's the puppet team, third and fourth grade. Questions about Wednesday night mission adventure teams. You know what? We don't try to do anything too complicated. That is really not that hard. It just depends on having the leader. And it's the RPM. We got these. The RPM CDs, and they are parodies on using popular rock tunes to Christmas music, and that's where we did it for all the puppet stuff and a lot of the other stuff. And we got it out of Littleton, Colorado puppets. Email me if you want to know. I'll give it to someone else who knows. I'm going to think of them in just a one-way street. I think they've got them. Yeah, one-way street. And they're a Christian provider of puppets and all sorts of things like that, too. Okay? Any other questions? I want to show you one more thing as we start moving through this. And this is kind of a tender thing because let me make sure I get it. All right. Is that going to shrink up there? Where's my shrinker? Good. All right. Now, can I Alt F4 that dog? Here we go. And now, let's go to video electives. Here we go. Our fifth, sixth graders, from time to time, would after they finished their Sunday morning discipleship, they would take a service event off campus and have a lunch together. It's a great way to build community. And on this Sunday, it was the Sunday after we had the very tragic shooting in the mall in Omaha, Nebraska a few years ago. So what do you do and how do you help kids cope with that? That's a very tender topic right now. We're so conscientious about protecting our children, but perhaps we ought equip them and arm them, because wouldn't we want them to be able to pray and minister at times like that? Wouldn't that be the response that we would have as a Christian church? So on that day, they went to the mall just 3 days after they had spent the morning making cards and praying for the people. They prayer walked the mall what they could and prayed for people that they saw and left their cards pasted on the mall. So the leader who led that took excerpts from the sermon that day and the film that of watching those kids do that. I'm going to share that with you now. And I didn't have a chance to be there because I was in the adult worship or in the setting for that day. But I feel like
Westroads sees 14.5 million visitors.
Could you get the lights to the back, please?
A shopping mall in a safe part of town. Broad daylight. Hundreds of Christmas shoppers everywhere. It should have been a place of safety and relaxation. It was anything but. Wednesday, December 5th, 2007, should teach us something. It should teach us that we need to be right with God every day. It should remind us that we need to hug and kiss our loved ones.
Grace has sweet that saved a wretch like me. I was lost, but now I was blind, but now I see. God's grace that's taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first
as my endurance.
Well, so what's the Lord doing? What's the Lord doing in your life, in your church's life, and the influence that He's given you? Ministry a little bit different now? How do you help people catch a similar vision that excites people? It's so much more exciting to follow Jesus when you have a chance to change people's lives, change the world. We have, I believe, probably a few minutes, and I would like to turn that over to questions and comments. Can we do that now? Questions and comments.
At the beginning, I didn't catch.
I made a reference to missional communities. Has anyone heard of missional communities? Okay, you will. Missional communities largely got a movement start out of St. Thomas Church in Sheffield, England. Two churches joined together and were ready to close their doors. Baptist Church and Anglican Church, they have exploded in growth. But they changed the way we think of churches. And what they said was basically this. Let's do church differently. And not think in terms of inside the walls, but outside the walls. And they studied social spaces and what kinds of numbers of people got together and when you could feel comfortable coming inside of a group. It's a little bit easier to come inside of a group of anywhere from 20 to 70 people than a group of 5 or 6, I mean, if it's a first time. And these groups, larger groups of people like that, had something in common. They had a mission. There was something they were doing that was missional, outside of themselves, and it was very compelling. But and a lot of people who are not believers are very much interested in doing things that are helpful to others. So once a month, at least, they were doing these missional things, and then the other times they were also having community, and that's when they were doing some of their discipleship, and they broke into smaller groups for other discipleship as well. So the missional communities expression now has popped up in North America under different churches. There's a book called Missional Communities, and it is helping us rethink small group ministry, because small group ministry has a hard time multiplying groups, as you know. But yet we need the community that we get in small groups. So we find it a little bit easier to put many of the small groups together in a larger group and give that focus to an outreach. Case in point. We're very new. I'm very new at this. I'm just learning. We're inventing it. We're finding out. But my small group is going to probably join together with three other small groups, and one time a month, we're going to go out and help the street school and the kids that need help there, because that's the kind of people that are in our group. Now, it's going to give us a chance to increase our relationships a little bit broader, but yet we still have our small group that we come on back to for our care. But we're outside the walls. It's ministry outside the walls. We want people to be able to decide what their own ministries happen, you know, how they decide it. Now, this is on tape, and there's people who are going to listen to this and say, that is the worst description of missional communities I've ever heard. And it may be. It does have two things. It has mission, and it has community. It also pays attention to number of sizes of the size of the group. Yes? Would you hold that just for a second until I give you Mr. Microphone?
I'm just wondering, how do you help children in schools to be able to serve their classmates? And I don't know if you have any ideas of just I don't know, I just have a son that's in preschool and just thinking of ways that he could just serve his friends.
That makes great sense. Now, you know what would be one way to get at that? Now, this would be a new way of thinking. Because I had someone else come and ask me in my church, we've got preschool, we're stay-at-home moms, we have preschool kids. What can we do to reach other people in our community with preschool kids? And you know what I said? I don't know. But I said, I bet we could find some people that would have some great ideas. So I said, let's have a lunch meeting. And let's bring several stay-at-home moms together. And let's ask that question. Now, maybe in your setting, it might be a great thing for you to take some of your friends and say, hey, let's have a lunch meeting or something. And I want to ask this question. How would you suggest we could help our kids better learn to serve in preschool? Or, and if it's a, especially if it's a public preschool, how can we teach them that that's their mission field? And wouldn't that be exciting? You see, the body of Christ has so much to say on that, and if the enemy could lie to us about anything, he would tell you this. Maybe you've heard the lie before. You are alone. Have you heard the lie? He uses it often. Guess what? You're not alone. Another question or comment?
It's kind of a two-part question, but I was just wondering if you could mention if you've got an active youth group and you decide to have a service project and you get a small fraction of your youth group there, I think I kind of know the answer, like you talk about, what does that say about the health of your youth group? And then also you mentioned a statistic early on, I think, about a correlation between kids serving either with their families or with church and how that carried on. I was just wondering if you could just mention.
What's the name of the study? The study goes back to 1992, so it's an old date. However, I think it's been collaborated in other readings, and I'm not going to give the exact percentage. But to answer that first question, of doing some longitudinal studies of students and asking what made your faith stick, they would talk about how much their parents talked about it. That was one thing. But when they actually served along their parents, and their mom talking about it was one thing, but when their dad did, it really started sticking. But if they ever served alongside, that was the one indicator more than anything else. Okay? So let's hold that up. The other question is, what do you do with that teen ministry that only a couple, that is the church. Change your expectations. Jesus had it all the time. Lots of people falling off. And so let's take our time with the people that are receptive and pour ourselves into them. That's kind of what Jesus did. He took 12 and changed the world. And he struck out on one. So just really, and if you invest in those people that are doing that, others will start coming along too, and maybe outside your group. Also, you're thinking youth group, and we oftentimes think of youth group in terms of these are the people from our own church that we want to help disciple. Well, the switch here is, wait a minute, how do we take whoever God gives us so that we can better equip to serve and reach others? So it's no longer just about keeping our own little, well, I don't want to say this in a pejorative way at all, but we want to break the club mentality. Are we doing it on time? Oh, good. This is so much fun. We have a few more minutes.
Well, the communal missions, the pastor, my youth pastor and I are fairly close. It was timeless, so we started doing a bonding thing on spread passes and all this kind of stuff. And we put it on Facebook, so we get a man. Men don't communicate so much in church. We even do our men's ministries and stuff like this. And then we were putting them into some of each other, and then they're communicating. So over the time we started doing this, and then we've talked about taking this with our cooking, and then you know a couple of weeks of that, and then bring in the girls, and they'll cook girls, and learn how to respect their women, like you said in your last session. And as this has been going on, now we've got non-Christians that are seeing this on our Facebook, and they're going, oh, the guys too, you know, it looks really fun. So now we bring them in, and then we start cooking for these non-Christians, and it's like a witnessing chance, and the whole idea of the communal missions, I think God is actually leading that.
He's moving it.
Focus,
yeah.
That he's actually putting through on men and women.
Missional community for guys, here's one of the best ones. This is on a billboard in Denver, by the way. Beer Church. Serious. Beer church. And have a beer, make a sandwich for the homeless. And then the third thing I forgot. I didn't get past beer. But and then there's a one missional community that's beer theology. And it's for the skeptic. Wow. That is a good, let's meet them where they are. So that's kind of expands certain paradigms.
I'm a children's pastor in our church, and I have two preschoolers. And so just that question about how you equip your child to start serving in their own classroom. Give credit to your child, I would say. You know, spend some time with your child and ask Jesus, okay, God, where do you want me to serve today? And we've been working on listening prayer through Brad Dursack's book a lot with my 6-year-old. And she was praying about that, something similar, and Monday she felt that God really spoke to her in class that during the tell and show or show and tell portion when you're a special helper, she needs to, rather than bringing in your favorite toy and showing it to your class, she really felt God leading her heart to share about her life with her class. And so for that mom and for other people, I think that pray about that and ask God to lead your child's heart, just like God spoke to Samuel, and he didn't understand who was talking to him. He kept running to Eli and running to Eli and running to Eli. We need to teach our kids to start listening to the voice of Jesus and the heart, and it will be profound how God speaks to them. And I would have never had the thought to say, you know what, maybe you need to start teaching about yourself to your class, but the Holy Spirit led Ella to think that, and so now she just feels that she needs to lead her class in that way.
Thank you so much. If I could help in any way, I'm available. And our ministry also has a booth right opposite the bookstore, and I'll be there. And if there's anything I can share or serve in any way, I'd be happy to. That's closing prayer. Lord God, thank you so much for answering our prayers that we gave to you, that you would show us something new, something of your kingdom maybe that we were missing. And you certainly showed me. And, well, Lord, I know that you showed so many people here. And I pray, Lord, now that you would give us a sign as we continue to follow through with the shift in the church, that you're calling us to serve outside the walls, and that kids, well, they are ministers too. Pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.